We're talking to a law and bioethics expert about the news that Facebook experimented on its users, apparently without their consent, resulting in a study published in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences.
The social media site manipulated what hundreds of thousands of users saw in their news feeds to test how positive or negative content affected the mood of its users. The news has lots of people saying the experiment was unsettling or even creepy.
Pilar Osorio is with us. She's a professor of law and bioethics at UW-Madison. She's also the ethics scholar at the Morgridge Institute for Research. That's part of the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery. Pilar, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, before we dig into the ethical issues here, can you give us a quick rundown of what Facebook was doing in this experiment?
Sure. So what they did was they were manipulating the content of users' news feeds. So that's the information that one user gets about another or about others. What they were doing with about 690,000 people was they were either decreasing the amount of positive news people got or decreasing the amount of negative news people got. They also had control groups paired up with the positive or negatives. And so what they were measuring was then the emotional content of the readers' later posts. And what they found was that people who received less positive news also wrote less positive posts. So their posts had fewer positive words and more negative words. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, people who received less negative news had more positive posts following that. So their The ones who received less negative news had more positive words and fewer negative words.
So I'm getting stories about happy puppies. You're getting stories about friends getting divorced. My posts then are happier. Your posts are sadder.
Exactly.
So some people's reaction to this is fascinating, useful information. Some people had serious problems with this. Let's get into those ethical issues now. What do you make of this? What was your reaction when you first read about this?
So I had a combination of those two reactions. I mean, I think this kind of research is important. It tells us something important. On the other hand, there were several ethical issues here. First was arguably inadequate ethics oversight of this study. Second, I think, and sort of glaringly obvious, was lack of informed consent. So the question is whether it was appropriate to do this research without informed consent and without even debriefing people after the fact so that they knew they had been in an experiment, they could report any possible harms. And then I think the third thing was that it's not clear exactly what the risks were or that they were adequately minimized.
So risks, what would those be?
Well, if you were trying to transmit a gloomier mood to somebody, a person who already, for instance, has clinical depression, that might cause them to miss work or to do something perhaps dangerous to themselves. You know, I'm not a psychologist, and so I don't feel like I am the person who could necessarily describe those risks, but that's partly why you have ethics oversight, so that you can call on the appropriate expertise in order to evaluate the risks.
And Facebook, in its response to the controversy the publication this article generated, said, we've got terms of use. I'm paraphrasing wildly here. The gist of the terms of use is you're putting lots of data on here. We're going to use it the way we want to for commercial or whatever purposes we want. It's your price of entry, in effect.
Actually, so the specific language is that they would use your data for internal operations, including troubleshooting, data analysis, testing, research, and service improvement. Mm-hmm. So the word research was in there. And then in the journal article, they say, well, people who signed our terms of use agreed to this data use agreement. And the word research was in there. So that's informed consent. From an ethics perspective, no, that's not informed consent. First of all, the phrase informed consent, if you take it seriously, it has the word informed in it. So informed means that people need to know that they're being asked to participate in research, what the research is all about, what the risks and benefits might be, all those kinds of things. There's actually a regulatory sort of definition, if you will, of what counts as informed consent. Signing a user agreement doesn't count, even if people read that which most people don't.
Right. I've seen some reaction from people in the internet industry saying, hey, if you are ever on a commercial website, you're being researched. We're trying, half of you get this look at the webpage, half of you get this other one. We're testing which makes you more likely to click here, buy something here. You're a guinea pig online. Know this and live with it.
Yeah, so this is true. Whether or not people know it is another story, and whether or not it's appropriate that they just have to live with it is also an important question that just has happened without any social conversation about it. It is true that there is what's called A/B testing, typically, which is where they will test software. The existing software is A, the test version is B. You have usually small, minor alterations to see if you can achieve some outcome, like getting people to click more often, right? Some computer scientists will say that this went beyond standard A/B testing. And again, I think whether it did or didn't, it's a matter of degree. And it is true that, you know, these are commercial enterprises. They are in the business of selling you, the user, to their advertisers. And they are doing all kinds of things with your data. It is also true that this was an intervention that had potential risks involved. It was an intervention on a very large scale. You know, so I think there are reasonable arguments that there should have been much more ethics oversight for this intervention.
Say a UW psychologist had wanted to do this experiment and said, hey, I'm going to work with Facebook and do this and test the impact of positive or negative news from the UW side or from a university research ethics side in general, what would be the expectation for them?
Right. So interesting you should use that example. This experiment was actually done by a Facebook researcher and two researchers from Cornell University. Mm-hmm. So there were university researchers involved, and this has been part of what has generated the controversy, because typically, university researchers are subject to a fair amount of ethics oversight. And so there is a review board called an institutional review board that would have to evaluate the research proposal to determine whether it was appropriate to do this without informed consent, and whether you needed to have debriefing afterwards, and whether the risks had been minimized. So that review was not done in this case. Cornell has a regulatory argument for why they didn't do it. And Facebook, as a private entity without federal funding, was not legally obligated to do it. And as far as anybody knows, they didn't have any ethics review committee at that time when this research was planned and initiated.
And you mentioned the legal side there. Apparently no law was broken. And that's because you just said Facebook is not doing this with, they don't receive federal funding, so they're not bound by federal research ethics laws?
That's correct. They're not. They don't receive federal funding. They aren't part of a federal agency. They haven't signed any contract saying they will follow the federal ethics guidelines, and they're not regulated by the FDA. So they fall into a category, which is a growing category, of private entities that are really either very lightly or not regulated in their research.
Legality aside, ethically, it sounds like you wish Facebook had tackled this differently.
I think just as a strictly ethical matter, there should have been some kind of oversight. There should have been some people who were not conducting the research, who were evaluating the ethics of this research and making sure that the people who were participants, that is, all those hundreds of thousands of people, were adequately sort of that their interests were adequately looked after.
Well, Michael from Milwaukee called, couldn't stay online, says people usually change their behavior if they know they're being watched. That could be why Facebook didn't tell people. So suppose Facebook did this without notifying people. Is there something they can do afterward? Is there something researchers do afterward in that kind of situation?
So there are two points. One is that sometimes it's appropriate to waive the requirement for informed consent, and that situation could be one. But there are ways to design this study, for instance, get consent from people, but tell them sometime in the next 3 months, we'll do this for 1 week. You may be part of a control group or part of an experimental group, right? And so you can design a study where people could have given consent here, I think. But that's, again, that's something that if you have ethics oversight, you have outside people who are raising these questions and helping to determine whether the study design is the best one you could do, the most ethical one that could answer your goals.
We're talking to ethics expert Pilar Osorio about the news that Facebook conducted an experiment on its users without their informed consent.
And we want to hear from you on this one. What do you think about this news? Were you surprised to learn that Facebook was experimenting on its users? Why or why not? And do you think it's ethical for the social media giant to conduct these kinds of experiments without user consent? Call in and let us know what you think at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. And you can also send us email at talk@WPR.org. We're picking up our discussion now with law and bioethics expert Pilar Osorio about the news that Facebook experimented on its users without their consent.
And we're taking your calls now. What do you think about this news? Are you surprised to learn that Facebook was doing this kind of social experiment on its users? Why or why not? And do you think it's ethical for the social media giant to do this kind of thing? Call, let us know what you think at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Ironically, you can also comment on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. We've got Stephen on the line in Madison. Stephen, hi, you're on the air.
Hi there. I was going to say, actually, that to my knowledge, they did actually receive a small chunk of federal funding for this. I should say the Cornell researchers did. I was reading a news article earlier today that I'd be more than willing to link onto your Facebook page, funnily enough. But essentially, it states that the DOD actually partially funded this study in an effort to find out how American people would react to social engineering through a media website like this in case a crisis occurs in which the American government needs to, you know, mediate responses from the public.
Stephen, thanks for the call. I'm not familiar with that exact Department of Defense link, but if there were federal money in this in some way, would that be a big problem?
Well, I think for the Cornell researchers, they would probably be required to have an ethics review if what they did counted as human subjects research. And they would have probably been required to do that regardless of whether or not this particular study was getting federal funding. So there are a lot of nuances and technical details about the regulations. For sure, if it was getting federal funding, then they would have been required to have ethics review if what they were doing as part of the study counted as human subjects research. So they have argued that it didn't. Again, it's a kind of technical thing. They've argued that all they did was help in the kind of general design at the beginning and then help to analyze the de-identified data at the end. And they didn't personally engage in any intervention or get any identifiable information. And so, therefore, they didn't fall within the regulations. That was their argument.
Stephen, thanks for the call at 800-642-1234. Jennifer on Facebook writes, I was surprised and I don't think it's right, the Facebook experiment. She goes on, the lack of consent is a particularly disturbing precedent. Their official response seemed very blasé, which could indicate they don't find their actions troublesome. What do you make of that?
Well, I think a lot of people, it's clear from the media uproar that a lot of people found this troublesome, creepy. I personally find it creepy. I think, you know, there has been a public conversation, but well, there's mostly been an expert conversation about whether we should extend the regulation of research more broadly to the private sector research enterprise. And I hope that this actually can help spur that conversation and broaden the public engagement with that conversation. There are proposals to revise the federal regulations, but to expand the research ethics oversight into the private sector would probably require some congressional action.
I could see industry corporations saying, hey, we need to do really basic market research to stay in business. Please don't cross the line there.
And, you know, frankly, I think Facebook is to be commended for the fact that they tried to do this in a very rigorous way, up to the standards where they could publish it in a major scientific journal. And that they did publish it. So they're contributing to the advancement of knowledge as opposed to the many similar entities that are probably doing similar experiments and keeping the information completely as a trade secret. Of course, you know, private entities are doing this kind of research because they're trying to get people to come to their sites, stay at their sites, use their sites, and doing that will give them some market advantage. So on the one hand, yes, it's creepy. On the other hand, don't imagine that Facebook is the only entity doing this kind of thing. They just published, and it would be unfortunate if the fact that they actually contributed to our publicly available knowledge would lead them to be slapped around for doing things that are probably not uncommon in that environment.
Michael on Facebook agrees with you in part. He says, while it's scary, I think it's good that we're learning about how social media impacts people's moods and well-being. So if done right by a corporation or by university researchers, there could be value in the kind of thing they're doing here.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's important that we have this kind of information. Then there's a larger kind of social ethics question about what we do with that information, who gets to have it, and how they get to use it.
Go back to our callers now. We've got Joe on the line in Racine. Joe, hi.
Hey, how you doing? First-time caller. I just happened to be flipping through the stations, and I hope you don't lose me. I was calling about this, you know, some people like to call me a conspiracy theory and and when this came out, I wasn't surprised. And, you know, the biggest conspiracy that I can throw out there is that Facebook is connected with DARPA and goes into CIA type stuff. And I would encourage all your listeners to go search the DARPA website. I just got off of it. I look at it regularly and, would urge your listeners to look up DARPA and the connection and the money trail between DARPA and Facebook. And
Joe, thanks a lot for the call. DARPA, defense analysis and researcher in there somewhere. I don't know what all DARPA sounds for. Whether or not this particular project is connected to federal defense research, at least we know about this one.
Yeah. And again, going back to the consent issue, one of the reasons we have typically a requirement for informed consent for research is so that people can make decisions about whether participating in that research is consistent with their own values and goals and life plans. And so having an opportunity to know fully about the research you're being asked to participate in and then choose to participate or not, that's partially how people have the opportunity to exercise these kinds of views that the caller just expressed.
So Facebook, this isn't the first time they've angered at least some users by a change they've made, by something they've done. How can they make this good in a way that satisfies you, for one, their users, and maybe paves the way to do more ethically sound research in the future?
Well, I mean, I think they need to have an ethics oversight board. If they don't have an IRB, they need to have something similar to an IRB. As I said, I think possibly at least there were research designs where they could have done this with some kind of consent. You know, there are arguments there, right? Maybe they needed such large numbers in order to see an effect that it wasn't reasonable to think that they would get enough people to consent, right? One could also ask whether it was so important to learn this that it was justifiable to expose people to risk and to do it without consent. But those are conversations that need to be had, and Facebook needs to have some kind of ethics oversight by some people who are disinterested, at least to the extent that they are not themselves conducting that research.
We'll leave it there for now. Pilar, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Pilar Osorio. She's a professor of law and bioethics at UW-Madison. She's also the ethics scholar at the Morgridge Institute for Research. That's part of the Wisconsin Institutes for Discovery.